In November of 2014, this was me. I had a new job, a new team, a new role. Somehow, magically, I was this new practice league technical leader. It was a better role. I was excited. I was nervous as well. I was a little bit anxious. Mostly thinky. Because you see, 2 days into my new job, my boss came to me and he said, "Josh, I've got a new client for you and a new project. And this project is quite big, a running time of about 6, 7, 8 months, something like that." And I suddenly realized, as he said the words, "Go nuts, you're in charge," I had the choice. Which on one hand was really good, because I was like, yeah, excellent. I have the power. And then I thought about that for a minute. And what I realized was that might actually be a bad thing. Because if I choose the wrong implementation, the wrong technology stack, I could end up costing the project, or maybe even worse. Might end up with no friends. Nobody will like me. So this new project was a farming-based agriculture-type project. The idea was farm managers would assign work to their farm hands to carry out during the day. Things like, please fix this fence, move these cows from this paddock to this paddock. And looking through the backlog, which was quite extensive, I knew that I needed to cover off a bunch of things. I knew I needed location and mapping. I knew that I was going to be mostly offline. I knew I needed to persist everything locally, definitely. And that included photos and images. There was a lot of business rules for dealing with these tasks, so that was a concern. And then a lot of syncing rules between the server and the device. And even though I'd only been in the job 3 or 4 days, I knew our designer was a tricky guy. I knew that we were a very adaptive, very agile team, so he was highly likely going to throw out to me some very fancy UI stuff. So I was worried about that as well. And the way that I looked at it, I had 3 options. The first option, I could build a native app, native code base, 3 times. We're probably only going to support iOS and Android at this point, so really it was only 2. Or I could do something like a Xamarin solution, where I could have a project that covers off native UI for each app that we're building, plus a whole bunch of shared business logic, web service logic, local persistence logic, all together shared across the platform. Or I could do something like an HTML, CSS, JavaScript-based app generator type situation. There's a lot of them to choose from. PhoneGap, Cordova, AppGyver, if you've heard of it, SensureTouch, Titanium, Kendo, of course, the good old jQuery. So I thought, what tech stack am I going to use? What tech stack would you use? Well, it's 2 years on. And when I was coming to make my submission for Ignite presentation, I found myself looking back at that project thinking, did I in fact do the right thing? If I were to do this again, would I do it in exactly the same way? Would I do it differently? Has the technology landscape changed? Are my assumptions still right? And so I got talking to people about this, and I realized that again and again and again, I seem to have the same argument. Oh, you should always do it native. Oh, Xamarin's rubbish. Oh, PhoneGap's rubbish. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, enough already. And then the more I thought about this, the more I thought to myself, well, can Xamarin replace doing any hybrid or web apps altogether? Can it replace doing native apps altogether? Good question. When you guys walk out of the room here today, hopefully, both of these questions in your mind will be answered. And if you're lazy like me, you want to skip straight to the answer right now, right? Okay. Absolutely. Now, in order to prove this answer correct and accurate, there's three reasons, three areas of concern we're going to look at. Performance, UI, and code sharing. So I thought in order to properly demonstrate this, what I'm going to have to do is build an app. And I'm going to have to build it four times. Right? I'm going to have to do a native Android one, a Xamarin Android one, a Xamarin Forms one for Android and iOS. So that's exactly what I've done. I come up with this idea, Xtrade is pretty simple, right? All we're going to do is we're going to get some foreign exchange rates. We're going to display those rates, store them locally. Every time you open the app, it's going to refresh them. There's a bunch of details there that we want to display as well. And then some kind of calculator thing, right? You type in some New Zealand dollars and it will calculate what you can get for everything else. Sounds good. So, first things first, performance. I like to call this Josh's mobile golden rules, and you should all obey these rules all of the time. Number one rule, we want native. And by we, I mean you, and also me. Everyone wants native. And this is not native performance. This is not something you can compromise on, and you shouldn't. Users are not forgiving. If they open your app and it performs really badly, they're not going to come back. They're going to uninstall it, right? We don't want that. So, let's have a look. I have a Nexus 6 piece, so I took a little video of the app that I built. First of all, native Android one. Now, there might be a little lag with the video. We'll see. So, what you're looking at here is for any lag in the view, any view loading problems, little things that you think, oh yeah, performance not so good here. Hopefully this is all very self-explanatory kind of an app. So far, looking pretty good, I think. I'm okay with it. The app start was really, really quick. You probably didn't even notice. So our calculator at the end there, it's pretty good. All right, not too bad. What about our Xamarin, what about that same native Android app on the most rubbished phone I could find in the office? A Huawei Y330. Now, make no mistake, this phone is rubbish. Now, because the phone's so bad, the memory's quite low, sometimes the video is a little bit laggy and it makes the problem look a lot worse than it actually is. But I assure you, it's still all right. Okay, updating some rays here, not too bad. Could be worse. Still a bit chunky there, I think. And then what about our calculator? How does that look? Okay, that's all right. And then we got that sliding view. Was that smooth? Okay, not too bad. All right. What about Xamarin Android on my 6P again? In theory, right, this should be exactly the same because Xamarin is native. Okay, so far it looks so good. You wouldn't have even known its difference. I could have shown you the same video. I didn't. Don't worry. It's real, I promise. Okay, pretty good. I like what I see. There's no lag in that scroll view, so it's good. 6P got a lot of grunt. Okay. So what about Xamarin Android on that really rubbishly awesome phone? Gosh, so long. First thing, black screen. So, from a very cold start, sometimes you'll see that from Xamarin. It's got to load up a whole bunch of stuff in the background to get you going. Typically, you only see that once. So on this lower end device, it doesn't perform as well as I would like it to. Still okay. I'm probably not selling how rubbish this phone is enough, I don't think. All right, sliding drawer. Yeah, a little bit choppy. Not too bad. Okay. All right, so what about our forms on the 6P? It should be native as well. It should be exactly the same, in theory. Looks the same. That list view is not quite as good with the scroll as it should be. Sometimes I went up and down just to make sure, you see. I was careful. Oh man, I can't wait to see you guys' face for the next one. All right, not too bad, tolerable. I'm okay with it. Haha, good times. Now, don't laugh, okay? Promise? Is that black screen again? What do you think happens? Wait. It's coming. Okay, not so good. I'm gonna put wait and pretend like you guys didn't see that, okay? Now, this is why I say on that cold start, you get that, and it's a little bit frustrating because really, being native and all that, it should have, you know, you shouldn't be seeing that. Maybe I'd text the phone too much. Maybe it was a bit low on memory. I'm not sure. But you don't actually see that again when you run it again. So that's a good thing. That list view is quite a lot more leggy. A frame cut there as well. Now, moving on, I did also, of course, create an iOS version of Forms, because why not? So I had a 6S and a 5 that I ran this on. 6 is first. Looks pretty good. I was quite happy. I literally had to do nothing to make this work, and I was thrilled with that. My development for this project, I actually did the Xamarin Android project first. And then I literally copy and pasted all of the layouts and everything back to a native Android project and then rebuilt the Java from the C#. So it's literally line by line copied and pasted. The forms was a little bit trickier in the way that I had a whole bunch of shared code from the Android project from Xamarin, which I just copy and pasted to the forms solution and modified a bunch of things to make it work good. All right, and the five as well. When I initially was thinking about how the story I wanted to tell for this, I wanted to do a native iOS and a Xamarin iOS project as well. But then I realized iOS is never the problem. It's always Android, right? That's the one that has the most performance issues, in my opinion. That's what I was seeing. So I decided it was probably enough to make my point just to do the Android ones. Plus, you know, I'm an Android developer, so it's my thing. Okay, pretty good. In summary, yeah, iOS performance was really good. It was actually a lot better than what I expected it to be. I thought there would be a bit of lag and it probably wouldn't be so good, but it was, so I was quite happy with that. Old Android devices suck. Yep, they do. It's a thing. The native versus the Xamarin native implementation on 6P is exactly the same, which is awesome. That's exactly what you'd expect. Form seems to be a bit laggy when the list view is scrolling. And like I said, all those videos, they're from Cold Start. Oh, time for Josh's bonus tip. If you're using Xamarin Link, because from C Sharp, yeah, it's so handy and so awesome. Every time I go back to do a native Java, I'm like, man, where's Link? I miss that so much. Also, in addition, async await is really cool. But be very careful, it will get you. From experience, it will get you. It took me ages to figure out where my exception had gone. All right, moving on, UI now. Josh's mobile golden rule number two, we want native, of course. I want it, you want it, everyone wants it. So, in addition, you need to adhere always to your native platform. If I have an iOS app and I'm running that, I want to see iOS. I want to see iOS controls. I want it in an iOS way. If I'm on Android, I want to see the Android version, right? I don't want to see some combo. So let's have a look here. Native Android on the right. In the middle is Xamarin Android and Forms on this side. Oh my God, they're all the same. It's amazing. How did you know that? It's good. The only difference is a little bit of line spacing, that's it. And again, all the same. One small difference here, not quite sure why, but the navigation view on the forms is a bit wider than it normally would be. Never figured that one out. And again, exactly the same. So, two things you might have noticed here. If you look at the very top on this right-hand side, the text in the toolbar is black, and the toolbar itself is white. That's my bad. I'm sorry. I missed that one. That's not a Xamarin or a native Android thing. I just made a mistake. Also, the forms on this side has a kind of an odd selector there. You can change those things, make them a bit more polished and look a bit better. It doesn't come default out of the box, so sometimes it looks a little bit weird. Two further points. Both of these are from the Forms project. In order for me to make this look properly native UI for both of these, I had to do what's called a custom renderer. So basically, Xamarin Forms uses XAML, and it has something like, say, a text entry box. And a custom renderer recognizes that this is a text entry box, and it converts it to a text input layout, which is the Android standard thing. Okay, so that way, when that text box takes focus, the little label pops up to the top, and it's in bright orange there, and you can see it. I'm going to show you this later. iOS ones, exactly the same again. Awesome. Very happy. In summary, everything looks native and we're happy about it. Yay. Like I said, Forms has a little bit of oddities. It's okay. As long as you know what they are, you can get them. Last point, code sharing. Right. Let's hopefully everybody cross their fingers. Hey, right. I run a VMware emulator, and I did all of my Xamarin Android development in Visual Studio. What we're looking at here is just the standard Android implementation of the rates list. This is the details. So it has a scroll view in case you took up too much room. Otherwise, it looks exactly like a native Android would. Text views, and that's it. There is a designer here as well. There you go. Now if we look at the backing, let's not use that one. Let's use this one. This is the backing activity for that rates details. Now the reason why I have this argument every time is because people say to me, oh, but it's not the same. Java and C#, when you do Android, it's not the same. Does this look the same? It's the same. The only difference is a few capital letters. That's it. Oh, and a few syntax things, but yeah, it's the same. All right. So in addition, let's have a look at Xamarin Studio. This is our forms project. Yeah, the way this works, let's start with the XAML here. So what we're looking at here is the list of rates on that very first page. Xamarin Forms has got this new thing that you can see on the right-hand side that shows you nothing right now, which is the XAML previewer. They previously didn't have this. All you had to do is look at this ugly-ass code right here and guess what it meant and then ran it and make sure you got it right. The reason it doesn't show anything there is because I haven't set up a fake data template to show you things in that list. Because I didn't have time. But it's very simple. Just this content page with a list view in it. And these list views support pull to refresh automatically. So as long as you write that one line that says refresh command binding blah blah blah, and you hook that up in your view model, no worries. So each one of these XAML pages has a backing CS file, and that's essentially where you wire up your view model. Right, one thing here that I want to point out, because this took me forever to figure out. So in C#, we're adding a delegate to an event. So when that item is clicked in the list, we want to execute the following. We want to make sure that the list view is not null. Okay. Then also, we want to get that selected item and cast it to our rate item, because that's the backing source behind our list. And then if that's not null, what we're going to do is then navigate to our details page. Now, I initially did not have if rate is not equal to null there. And it took me about an hour to figure out that this method actually gets thrown 5 or 6 times. And it gets thrown even after you leave the page. So I was getting a random exception that was crashing the whole app, and I was like, what is going on? So you need to check that the list and the rate are both not null. There is also the on appearing and on disappearing, which is equivalent to on resume, on view, did load, those ones like that. No worries there. And lastly, the Android project, which of course is just like any other Android project you've ever seen in your life. One thing to note here is that with the native Android implementation, I did not do data binding, and I didn't do that because I wanted the Xamarin one to run exactly the same as the native Android one. And if I'd used that data binding, the native Android one would have actually been slightly faster because it only does one pass through the layout view as opposed to multiple with Find by View ID. And of course, everywhere I've used Recycle View, so it would be nice and quick. And this looks just like any old view that you might create yourself. Does anybody want to see any other pieces of code? Any other questions about that? This is up on GitHub, and it's up to date. I will make sure that a link is sent out so you can see it if you want. Keep in mind that the forms one is just a very, I didn't really know what I was doing. Up until this talk, I hadn't really properly done a forms project. So I was kind of finding my way a lot, right? So I might have made a few mistakes. Feel free to correct them. Okay. In summary, for our Xamarin native project, not the forms one. Normally, what I see in my projects is that business logic, we do web service, we do local persistence, and some rules. Normally, that's about 50% of the code base. If you listen to people like James Montemagno, who's a really popular Xamarin guy, he will say that that can be a lot higher. Typically, that's not what I find. And the Xamarin Forms project is literally just one code base. In fact, let's go back and have a look. Because the amount of code that's shared there is pretty much everything. If we have a look at the iOS project, there is a whole bunch of image resources in here. That's all the flags that you saw, right? So you would have that for any project. The app delegate. All of those lines is just set up. That's it. So the Android one has an equivalent one, which looks like this. All it does is set up. And the other one is main. Nothing there anyway. And the Android equivalent. Yep. Custom renderer. So, like I mentioned earlier, this custom renderer that takes our text box entry and puts that floating label onto the top, that's this class here. The key line I've commented out at the top, so we'll run this to see what it's like without that, so you know what I mean. Okay, so that top one there. Normally, if this was empty, you would see that placeholder text that was instead on the top. So that's all that custom renderer does. Make sure that your native implementation is actually properly implemented like native should be. And like I said, when when I ran this for the first time in iOS, everything just literally worked straight out of the box. So I really didn't have to do anything. I just went back through and styled a few colors, and that's literally it. So now what I hear you saying is, hey Josh, how come you didn't do any hybrid or web apps to further illustrate your point? And I'm like, well, I'm not very good at HTML and JavaScript. That's it, really. I tried, and I did not get very far. I got an Ajax call working and put some elements in a list, and it looked terrible. And then I thought, you know what? What would actually be better is that if you saw a real-world example of a hybrid app that, in my personal opinion, doesn't work as well as it could. Okay? So be a little bit sensitive about this, because I'm sure all of the developers for this app put their life and soul into this app and they work so hard. And I don't mean to bash you or anything like that. If you're in the room, I apologize. Now, this app is the Les Mills app. As you can see, I use this app quite a lot. It may have something to do with the fact... No, I won't say that. Oh, no, wait, come back. All right, we're looking at the iOS one first. Now, earlier when I said that Android is the problem, I actually meant that because this iPhone 5 it's not that new, I guess, now, but it actually works fairly well. The list scrolling is not too bad. I think we load some images coming up, which makes it a lot worse. Yeah, it's not great. I would personally expect this to be doing a lot better than it is. Also, have you recognized how many UI elements are not native iOS elements? Look at that navigation bar. Would you normally see that for iOS? You wouldn't, right? You'd see a tab page probably. Okay, I really want to go back to the Android one because it's so much worse. Oh, All right, let's go back. Come on, go back. Yes, victory. Now, this is that same rubbish Huawei phone. And I did that on purpose, even though it took me an hour to get this video recorded. Oh, yeah, so good. So one thing I did notice in particular is sometimes, I'm not sure, but the button clicks when I tap on stuff don't register. It didn't work. I'm not sure what was up with that. I tried my best to try and figure it out, but couldn't get very far. Oh, quick. Look at that. That title bar sits right under that nav bar. Not so good. And then that one, I didn't actually click anything. It just randomly decided to load the next page as well. It's good. This is a bit of a long video, but it's worth it when you get to the end, honest. I also noticed this one really interesting bug where if you use the back button on Android, what happens is you go back through every click you ever made. So that back stack history is phenomenally huge, and it's frustrating because I ended up in a loop and I had to kill off the app just to get out of it. Come on. One more. There you go. There's my back stack loop. It's impressive, right? Oh, and then all of a sudden, oh, actually, I thought, oh, wait, I want to see something else, and then I got that. And then I was like, you know what? That's probably enough. They probably understand. And then I was like, okay, I'm just gonna exit. And then, damn. Not sure what happened. Wasn't even in the app anymore. Oh, well. Ah, no, next thing. Okay. Josh's mobile golden rule number 3. Mobile apps aren't websites. Say it with me. I didn't expect you to say that. It's good of you. Thanks. Just because we do it this way on a website doesn't mean we have to do it this way on a device, mobile device. It's not the same. Design it differently. Do it properly. So after all of this, I came to this question. Why would you opt for a hybrid or a web app to start with? Okay, well, it's HTML and JavaScript, and that's what you know. So I could do it that way. In Josh's opinion, this is not good enough. Learn something new. Look at our industry. Look how many JavaScript libraries there is out there. You know, I don't know whether I'm a nodal angle or reacting to a backbone or what the story is there. But you need to keep learning stuff all the time, right? Another good reason that you might go for a hybrid app is because it's a single code base. In theory, This is true. In practice, this is not how it goes. I remember working on a banking application for an unnamed company, and I came across one view in HTML and JavaScript one day that said, if iOS 6, do this. If iOS 6.1, do this. If iOS 7, do this. If Android and then 10 other Android versions, do this. You end up in the spaghetti code anyway. And finally, someone for the life of me, please think about your testers. Think about what a web view in HTML and JavaScript is. How many different versions of a web view in every different version of Android in every different device and manufacturer is there? If you want to be technically very accurate and correct, you want to test all of those, which is phenomenally huge. We like testers, right? We don't want to kill them. And then I came to this question. Wouldn't you rather have native performance and native UI in a single code base a la forms? Yeah, I definitely would. In saying that, in my journey for this Ignite presentation, I did actually have a quick look into React Native, which is JavaScript-based. And from what I read, it takes that JavaScript and converts it into actual native forms and elements. And I was like, man, this is definitely worth looking into further. So if you were still really keen on JavaScript, have a look at React Native. Just ignore the fact that it's from Facebook. I didn't quite know where to put this slide, but I wanted to yabber on about this anyway. Please be consistent. If one app does it this way, the other app should follow the same logic. And also, your apps, when you're building them, right? Because we're cross-platform people, we're thinking about this. We want our apps to have app parity, the same features in the same way all the time. Simplicity is key as well. Occam's razor, the simplest answer is usually the correct one. Or, for our case, the simplest solution is usually the best one. Okay, now I know you're all dying to hear what happened, what stack did I pick, right? Josh is in his thinking face. Where did he go? It should be absolutely no surprise to you. Hey, it's gone. Just kidding. Xamarin. Definitely. And so, 1 year, 2 years later, did I get that right? Yeah, I really think I did. When I look back on it, I'm actually really super proud of this application. I think we did a good job. Xamarin was the right choice given our really complicated thinking and business logic. So then I thought, maybe you want to see it, right? The point behind this task is moving one group of cows to another group. And as the farmhand, we said, yep, we've done that. So all good, complete that. We have a list of other tasks here. Effluent, that's not a nice thing, but has to be dealt with. Got some photos onto it, a few notes. Can get rid of those notes as well. It's very good. Oh, I took another photo as well. I forgot that I did that. It's good that this still, the notes, the images was tricky. So it's good that that worked. So, coming back to our original question. Can Xamarin replace native apps? No, definitely not. We always come back to the native way of doing stuff, and I think we should. That's the right thing to do. However, does Xamarin replace hybrid and web apps? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Oh. Yeah, no, definitely. And that's all for today.